right, good afternoon, everybody. So we'll start with the obvious. I am not Paul, for those of you that walked in late. Paul is with his family. He had some family situations to take care of, but he sends his deep regrets. And I'm going to do my very best to do justice to his slides. I've had the good fortune of working with Paul at the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation for the past, 3 to 4 years when he first came on as the director of our then public health team, and have had the opportunity to work with him and others across the foundation over the past 2 years through a pretty robust strategic planning and realignment process. And now Paul serves as the director of our Bridging Health and Healthcare team, which is very much in keeping with the theme of today's presentation. I also, like Brian, want to just really commend APHA for thinking about and engaging funders and public health funders in this conversation. And what you'll hear in my comments is really a nod at the thinking of a health funder, the rationale of a health funder, and how we are acting as a funder in the space, trying to drive health, trying to bridge health and healthcare. And so you'll hear some of that commentary in my remarks as well. So we start here, which is really not a different place than Jim or Brian started, and I'm actually not going to spend a whole lot of time making the case, because I suspect you're already bought in, into why we need to think about health differently, why we need to be thinking about health holistically, meaning, you know, those social, economic, environmental determinants of health, in addition to what's happening in the doctor's office, and the type of partnerships that's going to necessitate. But what I would say on this is that, you know, the foundation is now 40 plus years old, and it was our 40th anniversary when we really began our strategic planning process. We were post-ACA. It was a brand new world. It was a brand new environment, some of which we understood and some of which we were still trying to understand. And it was then that we embarked on really rethinking what was happening and what was our role in this environment. And this is a nod to the report that came out from the National Academy of Sciences looking at U.S. health outcomes in the international context, making reference to many of the points that have already been made, that Jim made, you know, really looking at spending vis-a-vis health outcomes. And so I'm not gonna rehash that for you. You can see that here. You know it. But that was one of the inputs for us. I would say, you know, other inputs for us came from the work of the Foundation's Commission to Build a Healthier America. And we have here, many of you are probably familiar with this map of Washington, D.C. Has anyone not seen this map of Washington, D.C.? All right. If you want to see the map of New Orleans, you can go to the booth. We have that there. But for us, it is still this recognition of, to the point Brian made, okay, we're seeing health outcomes improve, but not for everybody. And that for us has been a driver. And when we debunk that question of why not for everybody, what is it that is holding us back from realizing that full potential, that has been a driver for us. I would also point to the Commission to Build a Healthier America's recent recommendations. They came out with recommendations at the very beginning of this year, 3 recommendations. The first was a focus on early childhood as a way to think about moving the needle on health outcomes, because of all of what we know about how formative those early years are. The integration of health into community development, and I suspect this is something that Chris will get into, but recognizing that the community development field has long been in the business of improving zip codes, improving the infrastructure, the community, where people live and experience health, and public health practitioners have been working alongside, sometimes not knowing that, in those same communities, working for really, at the end of the day, that same outcome, improved quality of life. And so that second recommendation speaks very, very pointedly to the opportunity to think about integration there. And the last recommendation, again, very much in keeping with today's presentation, was about rethinking the role that healthcare can play in addressing those root causes of poor health. I will tell you, so this is where you get the, you know, sort of the context of the funder and the funder strategy. we went in knowing that the commissioners were going to focus on those two areas, early childhood and thinking about community development. And the work of the commission had really long been focused on this premise of, you know, health outside the hospital doors, health outside in the community. What are the changes that we can employ there? But it was the commissioners themselves who said, that's great, but we can't ignore the fact that our healthcare system has a responsibility and has a role and has an opportunity to be addressing those root causes of poor health. And so they really were the ones to make the case for that third recommendation, and we certainly are glad that they did. So after, you know, a year and a half, 2 years of that, what I would call strategic planning process of looking inward in terms of the investments we had made, what we had learned from those investments, looking externally to understanding what was happening in the environment, to understanding demographic trends, trends in healthcare, we really set our sights on this new vision, which is towards a culture of health. And you can see here, you know, we start to lay out, what does this vision mean? And what it means for us is that we as a nation will strive together to create a culture of health, enabling all in our diverse society to lead healthy lives now and for generations to come. I'll also tell you, because I'm going to give you the side story on all of this, we just updated this vision, right? So we put this out in the beginning of the year, and we've gotten feedback on it. And we got feedback from folks that are working with populations that are dealing with chronic disease. And they said, you know, we don't see ourselves in that vision. We don't see ourselves in that notion of leading healthy lives. And we got a lot of pushback on it. And I will say, I wasn't involved in this, so I can say to the foundation's credit and leadership's credit, they took that input in, and they have since changed the slide. Obviously, we didn't get it in time for Paul to upload it, to say lead healthier lives. And, you know, that might seem small, but for us, for a big foundation, to put yourself out there, to put a vision out there that you believe in, and to test it and to really take that input and to make that change is a big deal. And I think it is emblematic of how we really want to engage with this vision, that we really want to understand what does it mean to others? Do they see themselves in the vision? And how do we work together to get there? So a small example, but I think illustrative of how we are thinking about this vision and how it will be implemented. So how it will be implemented, and I will say this is a work in progress. Anyone in here that has worked with the foundation knows that it has been a year of testing out that vision and testing out strategies. So I will say one of the things that we knew going into this year, is that when we think about health and we're thinking about it in that broad definition of all of those drivers, we know that one sector cannot move the needle. Not one organization, not one person, but that real change is going to require and necessitate multiple sectors working together. Brian made the case for public health and primary care. We also make the case for public health and community development and planning and education and the criminal justice system, and the list goes on. Because again, for us to move the needle, it's going to require us thinking that holistic vision of health. The people value healthy choices. And not only do they value healthy choices, that there is the opportunity for healthy choices. And that, again, for us means a focus on social, environmental, and economic determinants of health. What's not on here, and I will say is increasingly a driver for us, is going back to that Washington, D.C. slide, the metro slide that you all know so well, is the focus on disparities. And, you know, this recognition is not just moving the nation forward, but it's moving everybody in the nation forward towards better health. One of the other reflections on this, and this connects with the Build Health Challenge, is we know we can't do this alone. We know it means we need to work differently. And so the Build Health Challenge is a great example. If we're talking with other funders, we see things are happening in the space that, all right, that looks a whole lot like something we would invest in. And maybe the old model would have been like, all right, well, we are going to go do our program over here, you do your program over there, and, you know, at some point maybe we'll talk about it. is to say, all right, let's think about rethinking how we do our work and trying to be more nimble and trying to play a role as a partner in something instead of saying this is how we're going to do it. Because in essence, that's what we're advocating for in communities. That's what we're advocating for in the field, that, that folks need to align their work in different ways. And we, too, are testing out that concept, knowing that we can't do this alone. So I think one of the other questions we get about a culture of health is, while it is perhaps visionary and perhaps it conjures images in everyone's head, perhaps a little bit differently, there still is a question, what do you actually mean by it? How are you going to measure it? How are you going to know if you achieve a culture of health? And this has been a year of really asking those questions, and we have a pretty in-depth process thinking about the measures that we will be using at the national level and what that means for work at the state and the local level, and really ties with programs like the county health rankings, where we've laid out some notion of how we think about measuring a culture of health. But here, what you get into is how we're thinking about culture of health and how we're starting to process those measures. And I'll talk about those action dimensions, because there is a belief that it is these actions, these drivers, that are contributing to a culture of health. In this first upper left-hand box, social cohesion and a shared value of health. Next to that, a multi-sectoral collaboration to build health partnerships. Under that, improved and equitable opportunity for healthy choices and environments. And next to that, improved quality, efficiency, and equity of health and healthcare systems. All leading to what we believe will be improved health systems and well-being. So this is a work in progress as well, but this is the framework that's being used as we think about measures that will be used to track a culture of health. This slide gets at the foundation's programming right now. But what's not on the slide, and I think perhaps most relevant to this topic, was the change that we made at the foundation to move away from having a health side of the house and a health care side of the house. For many, many years, that's how we were organized. And like many other big foundations or big organizations, we worked in our silos. And I'm not certainly going to suggest that we contributed to what has been a historic perpetuation of health and public health and healthcare being separated, but we certainly weren't improving. We were perpetuating that split that we often see in the field and we see in mentality. So for us, one of the most important structural pieces of this change has been really thinking about breaking down that health and healthcare structure, and the way that we are actually organized now is by what we call our targeted teams. So these are teams where we have near-term goals. We think we can really move the needle on things like childhood obesity, on coverage, on leadership. There's a really defined, clear path of work forward. And then on the other side is how we're thinking about longer-term strategies, and that's where all of our portfolios live. And these are things like bridging health and healthcare, catalyzing demand for healthy places and practices, eliminating health disparities. These are longer-term strategies, and the reality is we're figuring out what they are. And that's very much where we are now in terms of how we're thinking about our work. But I would go back to say that split, moving away from the health and healthcare silos, has been very, very important for us. The other thing is, again, getting to the focus of this session, which is alignment between health and healthcare. The work that I'll be talking about and the work that Paul is leading is around bridging health and healthcare. And it's there because we think it needs to be figured out. And when we say health and healthcare, that health, again, is that broad definition, also inclusive of social services and what have you. But it's not to say that we aren't thinking about bridging health and healthcare in other bodies of work across the foundation. When we think about childhood obesity, again, historically there has been from our foundation very much a focus on the community and the environmental policy levers. But what happens when we start to think about it from the clinical perspective as well, and linking what's happening in the community to what's happening in the clinic? When we think about strengthening vulnerable children and families, again, very much thinking about what's happening not only in the healthcare setting, but what's happening in school. How is that coordinated with social services? So this notion of bridging is a notion that I would say is a theme that runs through all of our work, increasingly runs through all of our work. But having a dedicated team of staff that are thinking about bridging and are thinking about what are the enabling factors for bridging, be it data, be it funding and financing, that is something that we think will then have applicability across the work that we're doing at the foundation. The other thing I will say, especially for folks in the room that are coming from other foundations, is we have been very intentional to have staff split across multiple teams and multiple portfolios. So for me, I have 20% of my time is on this bridging health and healthcare team. The balance of my time is on the team around catalyzing demand for healthy places and practices. And the intent there is that our funding, our programming, really does not live in one silo, that we're being very intentional and asking staff to also be intentional about thinking where there are opportunities to connect our strategies. Oh, look at this. Paul lit them all up. you know, you just don't get this when you get the hard cover slide. Well, that brings us to the bridging portfolio. And the goal that is articulated here is this notion of fostering alignment among healthcare, public health, and other community systems to address the multiple determinants of health to improve the health of communities. And again, what I would say is that this is the goal. But the way that we're thinking about our work is very much around those enabling opportunities. So I talked about financing as being one. I talked about data and data systems as being another. The other one is around community benefit. From the public health side of the house, we've been following the regulations coming out post-ACA for hospitals, and we cared about it because we were knee-deep and work with health departments around prerequisites for accreditation. So it was a natural place for us to pay attention and say, is this a lever for that alignment? And I'll say I was in a session this morning with Gibby Harris. Gibby is the local health officer in Buncombe County, North Carolina, a very esteemed career in public health. Buncombe County was one of this year's RWJF Culture of Health Prize winners. And one of the things that Gibby said was, yeah, we can do a CHA chip, which all of us in public health know what that means, but if not, the Community Health Needs Assessment and Improvement Plan every 3 years, and we can do a great job doing it with our public health and our hospital and community partners. But that's not enough. That's not bridging. That's not alignment. That's maybe good collaboration. But what we really need is a framework for action. And we need tools to be accountable to not only the outcomes, but to the process. And how do we find ways that individual organizations can see themselves in the big goal and the big vision, but also can see how they are individually moving the needle? And so I think that gets to how do we look at levers like community benefit and say, all right, how do we fully realize that? How are communities already fully realizing it? And again, that goes to the Build Health Challenge and one of the ways that we hope that we'll be able to source some of that. So let me give you a couple of examples of current funding. And I'll say, you know, we're thinking about this in several ways because we're thinking about what is it that we as a national funder can do? What are we well positioned to do? What can we do well? And one of the sort of our bread and butter is the notion of convening. And we have been and are continuing to work with the National Network of Public Health Institutes on a series of national convenings that are very much focused on this intersection and alignment of health and healthcare. Many of you probably have worked with public health institutes. Maybe you work in public health institutes, but they are natural bridgers and in many cases have been working at this intersection for many, many years. So again, for us, this is about opening up the conversation in communities and states. It is about elevating what's already working because we know that there are things that are already working. And it is on us, we believe, as a partner in this, to be able to source that and to elevate it and to share it. And so that is one of the roles that we see ourselves playing and where we see ourselves now in this really early rollout of a relatively new strategy. So on that point, again, we've talked about convening, Brian talked about tools. Rethink Health is another tool or approach, a way to think about financing differently and to think about reinvestment in a community differently. So it's a simulation model that allows you to see how various investments in the community, how certain policies in a community, create the opportunity to think about a sustainable model for health and investment in health. So this is, again, it is an approach. It is one approach that we're paying attention to, and they're getting traction in many communities, and we're trying to understand how do we learn from that, how do we export it, how do we share it, and how do tools like this become drivers in communities. There are also some really fabulous models that we are investing in because we think they offer promise. We think that they've demonstrated a proof of concept, and it's understanding how can they sustain, how can they grow, how can they embed programs like Health Leads, which I imagine folks might be familiar with thinking about how do we have staffed centers within hospitals to link patients to social services in the communities, and having those staffed by trained college students, volunteers, and medical-legal partnership, understanding the very critical role that legal aid can play in addressing some of the barriers to better health. So again, these are models that we have been investing in. We're really looking at the expansion and understanding what are the policy implications or the policy opportunities. How do you systematize these approaches so they're not just one-offs or a good idea, but how does that premise get embedded in a healthcare system? So as we think about, again, our opportunity to convene, our opportunity to identify and elevate tools and promising models, let me also point to some of the funding opportunities that are coming out in the year ahead. Many of these funding opportunities are still very much a reflection of where we are in our strategy, which is very much exploration. And so we are looking to unearth the models that we think get at innovation and bridging. And I would say here, when we think about innovation and bridging, one of the things we are most interested in is the financing. The Build Health Challenge. Again, we've talked about community benefit as a possible lever. How do we look at where that lever is being taken full advantage of? Again, for us, this is of interest to our work on bridging and health and healthcare, but also very much in line with the work that we're thinking about in terms of healthy places and practices. And again, that alignment between health and community development, addressing the social determinants of health in communities. And then looking and really unearthing strategies and models of data and information systems that are enabling bridging health and healthcare. So I will close with this, which I think is inspirational. I think it is a reflection of where we are, and that is the best way to predict the future is to create it. It is a future that we are not creating alone. It's a future that we are creating with other funding partners. It is a future that we are creating with communities. And it's a future that we are very excited about. So with that, thank you very much. This is Paul. Send all questions or complaints directly to Paul. Thank you.